somewhat about teaching. The question I'm going to ask you is, what makes learning successful? I would like to have some discussion on what makes us learn, what helps us learn. Now, instead of just having a simple discussion now, what I'd like to do is to break into small groups, and then we'll have each of the different groups report their findings. Because we all have experiences about this. Everyone went to school, everyone had parents, everyone's in ISKCON, everyone's been in situations where we felt very encouraged to learn, very excited to learn. And in addition, we've all been in situations where we felt discouraged. I remember when I was in the sixth grade, I was in a class where the teacher always used to pull my cheek. And I wasn't very encouraged to learn, because not that I have anything particularly against cheek pulling, but it didn't work. It didn't encourage me to learn. So we've all been in situations. We've been in temples where we've been so enthusiastic. We've dealt with devotees where sometimes we weren't encouraged at all. So what is it in a teaching or a learning situation? Let's take it from the point of view of learning, because we don't really think of ourselves as teachers, or most of us do not think of ourselves as teachers, but we've all had lots of experiences learning. So the discussion topic in the groups will be, what is it? What factors make a learning situation successful? And instead of just making it a general learning situation, just like in the material world, the basic principle is that we get kicked, and then we try to enjoy again, and we get kicked again. And then we try to enjoy again, and we get kicked again. But I'm not talking exactly about that. We won't make the discussion just on that type of a situation, but a situation where it's a little more formal, like in a school or a temple. Okay, now, does anyone have any questions what I'm going to ask you to do? I'm going to break you up into groups, and then we're going to discuss what makes or doesn't make a learning situation successful, or what encourages us to learn. Anyone have any questions what we're going to do? And after we discuss, then we'll have some discussion based on that. Any questions? Okay, just to make it really simple, we'll start with six people in a group approximately, and here's one group over here. What did you come up with? Now everyone listen carefully, because this is what the devotees have come up with. Of course it was very rush and everything, but let's hear what everyone has come up with. So you have to speak a little bit loudly, I believe.
We came up with three. One was interest.
Interest.
Application of the knowledge. The other one was presentation.
So the question again was, what makes a learning experience successful? So the interest of the subject matter, right? Second was?
Application of how do we apply it to our life.
If it's applicable,
right.
Now what's the difference? That would be, seem to me, something to do with interest too. Is that right? Or not?
Well, one could just be knowledge, I guess.
Okay, there were two on that. One was application,
right.
How applicable it is.
Right.
Another, how interesting it is.
Right.
And the third was the presentation.
Okay. And then we had some talk about the teacher, whether it was important to like the teacher or not.
Okay. What was the conclusion? I better listen to this one right now.
Well, we were discussing whether it was based upon, it was important to one's feelings, whether it was important.
I know which side you took, anyway.
I didn't have a side.
Okay. Okay. Interesting. Okay. Who, raise your hands for the other. Okay.
Krishna Kripa. Was it the teacher-student?
But loudly.
The teacher-student relationship should be proper. The teacher should be confident in his subject and his presentation of the subject, and that there should be a proper learning environment.
The teacher, the relationship should be right between teacher and student. The teacher should know his...
And that the student accepts the teacher as someone qualified to present the knowledge, and at the same time, the teacher accepts that the student is willing to learn. Therefore, he's encouraged also mm-hmm. to teach.
And the second part of the second one was?
Was that the teacher should be confident in studying and with his
presentation. And presentation. And the third one?
That there should be a proper learning environment, and that everyone also there should be willing to learn and hear from the teacher.
So when you're talking about learning environment, you were mostly talking about the other students there as opposed to the room and the...
Basically, I mean the room would matter less than the association.
Very interesting. Who's next group on this side? Yeah. What's your name again?
Subhash.
Hare Krishna.
The teacher conveys message.
Loudly. Especially because there are people on that side.
The teacher conveys message in a way student understands. Number two, student should be eager to learn and have a submissive behavior and respect the teacher so that the teacher can reciprocate.
Okay, so the first one was... Can I read the first one again?
The teacher conveys message.
So he's... The presentation.
Presentation.
Okay.
Number three, teacher comes down to the level of the student.
Okay, what do you mean by that? Because here I am sitting in a chair, I'm wondering if I'm doing something.
Say there, sannyasis talking about mass leader, whatever. Now, I'm not initiated myself.
Yeah.
Maybe, I have to go through all the cantos before I can really study canto.
Speak on a level that the particular students that you are speaking to, they will understand.
Yes.
So that ability to do that helps the environment.
Some teachers will talk on Sanskrit or whatever. Now people don't understand English, so there's no point talking in Sanskrit.
Well, maybe they speak Sanskrit and don't speak English. You know, they'd be able to do a lot better. Okay, nice. Very good. Next group? Yadu.
Have some points which have
but loudly.
Like eagerness from the student to learn, like the ability of the teacher to teach, and also the confidence that the student has in himself to be able to assimilate the subject.
How much effect do you think the teacher has in the student's confidence? Okay. Who had the point about environment? That was Krishna Kripa's group. Now, how much effect do you think the teacher has on the environment? Now, I'm not asking for percentages, but as the environment as you defined it, is the association and the room too. How much does the teacher affect that?
Well, if the teacher is presenting his subject nicely, then the result of that will be that the environment in terms of the student body will be very attentive, and everyone collectively will be eager to learn. So the teacher has practically speaking, controls the environment.
As much as possible,
yes.
I would say. Because sometimes there's nothing any teacher, no matter how good he is, can do about certain elements. Okay, next. Thank you. Next. Yes.
The best point, favorable environment.
Favorite? What did you mean by environment?
It means the association or even the structure of the means, the tools, desire to learn and application of this desire from the student side.
Now, how much do you think the teacher affects those two, those first two?
Yeah, this is the third point. Expert and sympathizing teacher.
Sympathetic.
Yes.
Expert and sympathetic teacher. What do you mean by expert?
Expert in his subject matter.
In his subject matter.
And sympathetic means that he is capable to transfer the subject matter.
To communicate it. I once went to I think it was London University, and I was speaking to a professor, an old professor of education, and I was doing a lot of research in those days on education and the process of teaching, because I was compiling a teacher training course, of which this ended up being one part of the course. And I was asking a lot of technical questions, and this professor said, "You Americans," of course he said it with a British accent, "you Americans, quite, you want to reduce everything to a technical science. But teaching is nothing more than communication." That's what he said, just like you're saying. Well, that's part of it. You have to know something and then communicate it. So he would agree with you. Okay, next group.
Yeah. I just wanted to add one thing.
Yeah.
Because you were saying what destroys confidence.
What?
What destroys confidence.
Yeah. The student should be confident in his ability to learn. And my question was, how much does the teacher affect the feeling of the student that I can learn this? And Yaru's answer was, a lot.
I thought it was the element of fear. When there is fear there of the teacher, and confidence is destroyed in the student.
Destroyed. Okay. Interesting point. Maybe we can discuss that one sometime. Because fear, what do you mean? In what sense fear? So heavily fearful, and the student becomes very much afraid of making a mistake like that. Yeah, I agree. Thank you. Yes, Mataji, what's your name? Kunti Devi. But you're going to have to speak loudly. Teach by example. Okay. The teacher must deal in a very individual way with the students, understanding the limitations and strengths naturally as well. And encouraging. Okay, I lost the number though. Was that three or two? Oh, it was two. What was the first one? The competence of the teacher. So it sounded like you were saying that the teacher's ability is dealing with the student and then the environment. Okay, thank you. Okay.
We never actually finished categorizing out.
Okay.
Firstly, a presentation of the intention and enthusiasm of student intent for teacher competence.
Okay, the teacher competence, and element of that is the enthusiasm. Okay.
And that the teacher has realized the importance of what he's teaching.
Yeah.
And that it's made meaningful.
So his method of communication touches something in the students so that they find it meaningful. Okay. Mataji? Yeah? Oh, yes. But you have to speak louder.
There was one discussion we had that couldn't really get to the final conclusion. Because you thought one very important point was the teacher should have a personal relationship, or it's very advantageous if the teacher is able to have a personal approach to the student. But on the other hand, then we were talking about the importance of somebody being able to have an expert presentation. And then we were discussing this point, what is actually the more important thing, because somebody might be very personal, but not be able to present very well. So it might not apply to somebody. And the other way around may also happen that he might even not have an expert presentation, but because somehow the able to take the students to the first place, that they become very easy and still learn to get the point.
Because we cheated a bit, of course. We said reduce it to three, as if there was a magic number of three that all teachers must have before they become teachers. So of course, it's not like that. Okay, thank you. Was there another? Yes.
There should be discipline between the students and the instructor.
Discipline, meaning that the relationship should be established as one teacher and the student.
Yeah. The subject matter has to be very interesting.
Okay, what do you mean by interesting?
The student should be inspired for that specific subject matter, so that there will be an eagerness for the student to hear and listen. And the teacher must be potent. Means that he should be also eager to disseminate the knowledge he has, the realization that he has, and the student must be able to perceive this.
Perceive that?
Yes.
How would he perceive that, do you think?
I guess by the example, the teacher, he preaches. He's an example of what he preaches, and he's the example.
Okay. Tajik? But loudly, please.
Topics have to be interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah. In fact, the students can be interested, the teacher can make the topic interesting. When you have qualified teachers.
The qualification of the teacher.
And we're discussing the same thing. We have at least 70-year students, have got some personal relationships. And also, they have to be enthusiastic and be interested in the subject and the representation.
So then we also kind of deterred from the enthusiastic environment to like him.
Because if the other students are interested and
enthusiastic and could inspire, you could learn. Yeah. Was there
anyone else? Thank you. Yes. Yeah, there's a point that... But loudly, because... There's a point that hasn't come out, and that's personally, that's what moved me. Yeah. And it's why I come here. And it's the desire to learn something, but with the aim to project onto somebody else.
Okay, why don't you explain that one a little more?
Well, I mean, I have interest in learning something, and I don't care about the teacher, about the environment. My interest is to learn, so I can teach other people what I'm learning. I want to get some knowledge so I can pass it on to somebody. So, I mean, I agree the environment of this is influenced, yeah, but in my point, I mean, I could be learning under a tree, but I mean, my desire is to learn. Mm-hmm. Pass it on to somebody.
But yet you've come to Vrindavan to learn.
Yes.
You didn't go to Central Park in New York City. So why did you come to Vrindavan then? I mean, I appreciate that point, that the enthusiasm of the teacher, I mean, enthusiasm of the student, I appreciate that very much. It can overcome so many obstacles, but what made you come to Vrindavan at this particular time?
Yeah, of course, I mean, I agree with the environment, all that, you know, but for me the main point is to learn, to be able to teach. So, of course, I agree with the environment and the relation between the teacher and the student, but for me, I would put it like a number one point is the desire to...
Yeah, the personal motivation of the student to learn. So this helps the situation become successful, the learning situation become successful. Any other points? Your group? You're going to report on your group?
9 points we discussed.
Nine?
No, just the 9 points.
Main points. Oh, right. It's a New Zealand mine point. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Because they pretty much are the same.
Okay.
A qualified teacher.
Yeah.
Sincere student. A good environment. And we mainly discussed the relationship between the teacher and the student.
Yeah.
And an extra point would be that that relationship would have to have some time to be developed. To build that relationship, that would be an important part.
Yeah. Very, very, very interesting. I didn't really know what to expect. We did a Gurukula teacher training. We're doing one Gurukula teacher training course with meetings also. And we did in one sense, a similar exercise, but we approached it from a bit of a different angle, and we took a longer time. And we started discussing just our school days. And invariably, when we discussed school, and no one was thinking from the point of view of Krishna conscious schooling, just from what our own educational experiences were. Ultimately, no one talked about the school buildings. Ultimately, everyone naturally, without any provoking, talked about the teachers. I 100% agree if you're in a shabby room that's very, very, very hot, and there's no air circulation, everyone will fall asleep, which may happen. We don't know, but the environment affects, as does the association. I've seen it in Los Angeles many years ago in one of the gurukulas that's now closed. When a child was doing well in Krishna consciousness, the mood of the other students would be, hey, he's trying to be KC, Krishna conscious, oh, pure devotee over here. And they'd make him feel so bad, that environment and association, that it was almost impossible, unless he was like Prahlad Maharaj, as you were describing. He wants to learn about Krishna, and he doesn't care about anything else. But these things can affect us. The room, the techniques, the association. But even, as I said, that everyone started talking about teachers that they had that really inspired them, when in their heart they had no desire to learn something, and somehow or another this teacher knew, maybe it was a French teacher even, and he was teaching French, or she was teaching French, and she inspired a desire, a confidence in that student. One teacher decided, because she had such an excellent teacher when she was 6 years old, at that time she decided she wanted to become a teacher. The environment and what the other students are doing, and so many of the other very important and essential factors that you have all very appropriately mentioned, they are so important. But the difficulty is, or one difficulty is, so many of them are way, way beyond our control. This is one problem. Like Prabhupada, when he first started preaching on 26 Second Avenue, or even before that on the Bowery, the environment was disgraceful. The people were crazy, practically speaking. Yet, that teacher was so powerful, that he touched the hearts of so many people. And that touching of the heart, the potency of the touch of him to their hearts, has brought us all here to Vrindavan. And I would like to make the point, almost to sum up this whole thing, or at least this initial justice discussion, is that ISKCON is meant for teaching. This is the business of ISKCON, it's teaching. Sometimes we call it preaching, and preaching is a form of teaching. We want to teach people about Krishna, but the real surprise is, who do we expect the teachers to be? And it's all of you and me. ISKCON is a teaching, preaching institution. And Prabhupada even said, without preaching, the entire institution becomes rubbish. And know it well, that without preachers or teachers, there is no question of preaching or teaching. Teachers make the difference. Every one of you, I could say it very confidently, if you think why you became devotees, if you look, if you remember back, you'll find one person probably who somehow or another in his dealing with you, somehow or another his association convinced you to become a devotee. Who has that experience? Let's see if my confidence is secure. There's a lot of devotees who come just from Prabhupada's books too. So we can say that's... But even aside from that, just some person. Like Prabhupada, we say that he was, you know, what an exalted personality, right? But even aside from that, and some of us may have had the great fortune of being personally picked out of the material world by Srila Prabhupada. But how many of us were convinced to become devotees not by Srila Prabhupada, just by, in one sense, ordinary people? It's almost everyone. It's people, it's the teachers who make the difference. You can affect people. Know this for a fact. You can change people's hearts. And the movement has started by one great, great heart affecting some hearts and then traveling all over the world and affecting so many hearts, so many hearts. And that one teacher, Srila Prabhupada, was so powerful that he could be lecturing 500 people in an auditorium and every one of them would feel him. Not every one of them, but so many would feel the touch of Prabhupada personally speaking to them in the heart. Teachers are so important. Prabhupada stressed this. He said that he wanted all our temples to become vanashrama colleges. The temples are training institutions. The books that we're so fond of distributing are the textbooks. We should know the textbooks and we should teach the textbooks. We should apply them to our own lives and we should become convinced. The conviction, as so many of you mentioned, the enthusiasm of the teacher, the example of the teacher, his knowing the subject matter, his feeling that it's important, and his concern for the individuals, his compassion. Now, ISKCON, if I was going to write the points, some points on the board, although I'm drawing your attention to the board and I've done something that is against the rules of good teaching. I've written something on the board and everyone will look at it and it has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. So therefore, everyone will be distracted. So everyone take a look and get all your distractions done. Okay, this one I've put in code, so it'll be very hard to understand it unless you know the code. This one, you might be able to figure out, but I doubt it. Okay, ready? Now I can't figure out what I was talking about. Does anyone remember? This is a test.
You're just saying you're
going to
put something on the board.
Yeah. Right. Thank you, Maharaj. If I was going to put something on the board to describe what point we were up to, I would write at this point that the importance of teaching in ISKCON. And in the beginning, Prabhupada was talking about the devotees being all Brahmins, means teachers. And ISKCON was so simple in the beginning days. In the early days, practically there was a little administration. There was only preaching, Harinam Sankirtan, and some book distribution, some deity worship, some evening class. Practically speaking, there was nothing else. Some festivals. There was nothing else going on in ISKCON for years and years and years. And then everything gradually, as the society grew, became more complicated. In the beginning, Prabhupada was talking about the devotees all being Brahmin teachers, and everyone would be a teacher. Then, about 1974, he started speaking about Vanashrama and introducing Vanashrama in ISKCON. But yet, even when he was talking about there being not only Brahmins, but Kshatriyas, Sudras, Vaishyas, and Brahmins, he still talked about those those kshatriyas, brahmins, kshatriyas and vaishyas and sudras, he spoke of them being Vaishnavas and teaching all the other members of society and training them how to do their occupational duty for Krishna. Yaidam paramam guyam mad bhakteshu avidasyati. The ISKCON is a preaching institution. It's meant for teaching people about Krishna. You can hire so many people. Prabhupada said about Gurukula, if we want, someone said, should we train our children to be doctors? And Prabhupada said, there is no harm. But we can hire so many doctors. With money you can hire a doctor, but where? How much would it cost to hire a pure devotee to preach Krishna consciousness, to teach people about Krishna? That you cannot find anywhere by money. That only comes from someone having bhakti. So get this bhakti, get it at any cost, and become a teacher, a preacher. This is the desire of Prabhupada. Assimilate and teach. This is what ISKCON is for. The second point we would write on the board is that the heart of teaching is the teacher. You can have the perfect room, especially when it comes to Krishna consciousness. You could have sincere people wanting to learn. You can have a teacher who knows so much Shastra, even, or he knows his subject. But the heart of the teacher is the essence of teaching. He has to want to teach, to impart the knowledge that he has. He has to see the importance of it. He has to see the essential nature of it. He has to have knowledge. But he has to have a special heart, the heart of a Vaishnava. Therefore, a teacher in the Vedic culture, and Prabhupada explained this about Gurukula, and this course, as you may have or may not have figured out now, doesn't really have anything to do with Gurukula, except that Gurukula teachers are also teachers, that he said about Gurukula that teachers cannot get a salary. This is the Vedic system. Why? Why can't teachers get a salary? Krishna Krishna.
Isn't there a blind to teach according to who's paying their salary?
Yeah, good. Anything else?
Someone may teach just for a living.
Just to make money. To teach, but no, real teaching, especially spiritual teaching, cannot go on like that. It has to be out of love of the subject, inspiration by the subject, and a sincere desire to see others pick this up too. So as Jaihata Koshapu was saying, that if one has the desire, if one understands the importance of this, one will learn just to teach. Even. One has to understand the importance of it, and then one's heart naturally in Krishna consciousness will become soft too. But it's the heart of the teacher and his desire and his, also as so many of the devotees mentioned, his ability to see the good in others. To know that they can take it, that Krishna consciousness is for everyone, for instance. This is the essence of teaching. Now, what about our art of teaching course? I'm afraid we're not going to teach the heart of a teacher here, because then we'd call it the heart of teaching. But this is the art of teaching. Unfortunately, the art of teaching is going to concentrate on something else. But hopefully and assuredly your Vrindavan experience and hopefully all your experiences in ISKCON are teaching you the heart of teaching. Because what affects us more than anything else is association. This is the most important thing. And we learn more from association than from words. So, although there is so much fine association and teaching in Vrindavan in that way, this course is going to center on techniques. Because you don't, how much can one talk about? You have to be sincere and you have to really want everyone to learn and you have to encourage everyone. There's so many times you could say that, basically just once. Because actions speak louder than words. So much of what you will learn here in Vrindavan will be by the examples of the other devotees, the teachers, and other students. Know that for sure. That is the actual art of teaching. That's why in Gurukula, when one would actually want to learn from a guru, a teacher, the system was that you live with him. So yes, he teaches you shastra. Yes, he teaches you so much knowledge. But what is he really teaching? How to live. You're living with him. You're seeing how he deals with life. You're watching him always chanting Hare Krishna. You're watching his how he deals with you as an individual. And from that, real learning takes place. But in this class, as I said, we will talk about the techniques. But I don't want you to become fooled. We will speak a lot about the techniques, some very powerful techniques. But don't become fooled and think that the techniques make the teacher. Please don't become fooled like that. Because if someone doesn't know anything about techniques, if he has the essence of being a teacher, the heart of a teacher, everything else will fall into place. The techniques can help, but don't become fooled and think that by learning the techniques, you'll become a teacher. Rather, if you want to become a teacher of Krishna consciousness, very sincerely, you will have to become Krishna conscious and associate with Krishna conscious devotees. Know this for a fact. But we will talk about the techniques a lot, and you will all become expert in the techniques of teaching. And we pray that you will also acquire the heart of a teacher more and more and more and more and more. And that leads us to the techniques of teaching. And this list of four over here is what we're going to cover. Now there are unlimited techniques of teaching. Some of them you will see me demonstrating. Some of them you will not see me demonstrating, but I'll be doing them anyway. Here are the four that we'll talk about basically. The first one is instructing. And these four are in the book that we're going to hand out. This is the book, and it basically covers four topics. Instructing. What we mean by instructing is basically lecturing. Now, lecturing is essential. There are so many different ways of teaching. So many different ways. You gather into groups. Sometimes you teach by talking to one person while you're talking to another, instructing someone over there. There are unlimited techniques of teaching. But lecturing is essential. We use it all the time in Bhagavatam classes, and when preaching to the public, there's always going to be lecturing, and we've called it instructing. We'll have a little bit more on than just lecturing, but the key is going to be lecturing here. We're going to speak about how to organize lectures, but we're only going to go to the essence of that. And then we'll talk about many other techniques in instructing and listening, in lecturing. Then we're going to deal with discussions. How to lead and participate in a discussion. We are all social. We're living in a social institution. There are so many times when we need to discuss things. We come to decisions through discussions. We reach philosophical conclusions through discussion. But unfortunately, if we don't know how to discuss properly, And if some people don't know how to lead discussions properly, what happens is chaos and great, great frustration. So we're going to deal with the techniques of discussing and leading discussions. That'll be two. The third element will be learning theory. And since this is a four-week course, we'll approximately take 1 week on each of these four different sections. Learning theory will deal with how the mind and intelligence assimilates information and how to present things in such a way that the people that you're presenting to, that they assimilate the information. We'll discuss something a little bit theoretical and then get practical. It's very interesting. In the research that I did on learning theory, it's quite recent. There are many books written about it starting 1950, 1960, 1970, and 1980. All very modern theories on learning theory about the memory and the intelligence, etc. And then, while looking in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Shikshamrita, Chaitanya Shikshamrita, there was an exact description by Bhaktivinoda Thakur written in the 1800s of how the intelligence and mind work. And based on that description, we've molded this particular lesson. Very interesting. And then the fourth element, or fourth week, or section, will be on listening. Now, listening is very interesting. It's something that's very difficult to do, and it's something that we should all learn how to do. How to listen. Listening is the beginning of counseling. Counseling is part of teaching. We're not going to give an exhaustive course on counseling here. Jagadish Maharaj will give a very sweet course by his own association and example and words here this semester. But we're going to attempt to teach something about the most important part of counseling, and that is learning how to listen. And so many people come with so many ideas in their mind, or so much frustration or problems, and if we will just learn this particular art of how to listen to them, we can help so much. We can give so much shelter. Not that this is the be-all and end-all of counseling, but can help a lot. So we'll also deal with listening. How to listen and how to respond appropriately. Okay, are there any questions up to this point on anything that we discussed? Okay, yes.
It's not just referring to this point. The previous point you were making. It looks to me that like it is one is born teacher. Like it cannot become a teacher. It must have already these qualities. So
which qualities?
The qualities you were
how is it actually the art of learning teaching? It seems that teaching is the quality of a Vaishnava. We may be born with Brahminical tendencies or Kshatriya tendencies or Vaishya tendencies or Sudra tendencies. And if we look at teaching just as that activity a Brahmana does, you're probably correct. But as far as Krishna consciousness is concerned, it is not correct. If someone, there are so many examples in Vaishnava history of those not born teachers or Brahmins, but were highly qualified Vaishnavas and taught the whole world, practically speaking. Again, the essence is the Vaishnava heart. And if we're born with that type of a heart, that means we learned it in a different life. This is the essence of teaching, having that heart. the softness of heart that allows one to become a shelter for others. This is teaching. Why did Prabhupada only sleep 2 hours a night? Why did Prabhupada travel all over the world at the age of 80, again and again and again? And it's got nothing to do with birth in Prabhupada's case. It had something, it's a different story in one sense. But it has to do with desire. And that's what we mean when we say the heart of a Vaishnava. His sincere desire, it's just a matter of sincerity actually. Once Satsuma Raj asked Prabhupada about some philosopher. And what was his advancement in 1966? And Prabhupada's answer was, his sincerity is his advancement. So what we're talking about is this, really, very simply speaking, is this sincerity in Krishna consciousness. This will give one the qualification to be a teacher, whether one is a teacher in the Gurukula, or whether one is a book distributor, or one is building a construction worker, or driving a bulldozer, or whatever one is doing. If the sincerity or advancement is developed and the heart is softened, everything will work fine. So again, don't confuse the techniques with the essence. This is the essence. But the techniques will help us. And don't become discouraged that maybe you think we don't have the essence, so therefore why learn the techniques? No. Know that if you try, Krishna will reciprocate. Take a step to Krishna. Okay. A few more. This is what the course will cover, approximately a week on each. There will be grades in this course. 33% will be homework, quizzes, and attendance. That's what the A stands for. Homework, a third of it approximately. There'll be quizzes, more or less. They can, at any time, first thing in the morning or the afternoon when you come in, we may have a quiz on specifically on the homework, on the reading that you have to do. Even tomorrow, there may be a quiz. One never knows. And I'll tell you what the assignment is for tomorrow. It's going to be read pages 1 through 12 in this book. And there may even be a quiz on it. Very short, very simple, very direct, based just on what you read, nothing very esoteric. But there may even be a quiz on it. Only Krishna knows.
1 through 12.
Huh? Pages 1 through 12. And 33% on the test, two tests, a midterm and a final, like that. And then classroom participation. We'll have activities in the classroom. Everyone, it's not going to be just theoretical. I hope everyone will have lots of time to practice everything that we learn. We'll attempt to do that. So that classroom participation will be one third also. What time exactly does the class end today?
20:30.
Huh?
20:30.
This was officially the introduction to the class. I'd hand these out now, except that what will happen? Who knows what will happen if I hand them out now and I'll start talking? Yes, what will happen? We'd like all the group leaders, all those who led groups, we're going to keep these groups for a little while. All those who led groups, they are required to make a 2-minute presentation tomorrow. And what you have to do in that presentation what you have to do in that presentation is teach us something. Teach the class something. Now, I know it's difficult. It's a big class and standing up in front of everyone. But in any case, that's the assignment. 2 minutes, though. Not 1 second more, because we have a man with a hook over there. And after 2 minutes... 2 minutes, so practice. Now, I'll give you one hint. The key in doing a 2-minute presentation is choosing your topic, what you're going to teach properly. Choose something that you can teach in 2 minutes. Don't try to take on the real meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam or how to solve ISKCON's financial problems. Take something smaller, like how to spell your name, something on that level. Not quite that simple, but make it simple, something that you could actually teach in 2 minutes. But one thing is, don't teach something that we already know. Teach something that we don't know. So you'll have to think. Okay? 2 minutes. So everyone, probably once a week, will have an opportunity to make a presentation. Yeah. They watch and learn something. They go tomorrow.
Any restrictions on the subject matter?
Well, there are certain restrictions that we have just by being Vaishnavas and being in Vrindavan. Other than that, nothing. Just teach us something. If you want to teach us something about Krishna, we'll be extra happy. But if you want to teach us something practical, we'll also be happy. But don't teach me something that I already know, please. I get bored and go to sleep immediately. Now, we'll also, if you have some kind of a notebook at the end of every class, and including this class, what we'll be doing is everyone will do because I'm also a writing teacher. So we will integrate a little bit of that into the teaching. And at the end, everyone will sit and write for 5 minutes at the end of every class about what they learned in this, about teaching in this class, or about anything about the class. But you have to come out with things that you learned about teaching. Now, that you can learn about teaching anywhere. You can learn by the mistakes that the teacher has made, the person has made. You can learn just by your own realization about how to do something or not do something. But learn, get your mind active. Writing is so good to get the mind active. Intelligence active. So we'll do that at the... I'll give you a little more instruction on that when we begin that today. Okay, now with the remaining 10 minutes, I would like to go into the actual first lesson on instructing. And it will be information that you will read about tonight or tomorrow morning. Information on pages 1 through 12. Now, the first obstacle that one has to overcome if one is going to teach, give any type of instructing practically, is that he has to decide what he is going to teach. Now, this sounds very obvious. How could we teach something until we decide what it is? But I will tell you from my experience, and after you take this course, you'll probably have the same experience as I do, that people do this all the time. They give talks, they give lectures, classes, but they don't have a clear idea of what they want the students to learn. So the first point is to understand when you're teaching that there is a difference. This chalk is made in India. It doesn't even work.
First,
real chalk, where?
Up in front of the first stack next to
this.
This?
Yeah, the end of the day. Ah, this real chalk. There's a difference between teaching and learning. Whoops. So what is the difference between teaching and learning? Simple question. What is the difference between teaching and learning? I'm not sure if I should acknowledge that because you did not raise your hand. I'm teasing you though, but... Okay, what did you say?
Knowledge.
Knowledge, okay. Okay, but no okay. The difference between teaching and learning, what did you say?
I was going to say teaching seems to imply that you have already learned the subject.
Okay, yes, effect.
They're the same subject, knowledge, but one is the giving, one is the receiving.
Yes. Exactly, you ruined all my fun. Teaching is the job of the teacher. His business is to teach. And whose business is learning? The students. The teacher sometimes thinks that his teaching, what did you teach today? That may be okay, I've taught so many things, but the real question is, did anyone learn anything? So often, the teacher thinks of his job in terms of what he's going to teach. But we will attempt to help to show you how to think of teaching in terms of what you want the students to learn. And this is the first thing that has to be discovered and decided upon by the teacher. What he wants the students to learn. And the clearer this is in the teacher's mind, the easier his teaching is going to be. What is it exactly I want the students to learn? Exactly. I want them to learn about Krishna. So I'm going to talk about Krishna. But that is so broad and so general. The clearer, more focused I have it in my mind what I want the students to learn about Krishna. Five of Krishna's names, seven of Krishna's pastimes, exactly the names of all his different flutes, his different places of residence. He lived for so many years in Gokul, so many years in Nandagam, so many years at Chatikara. What do I want to teach about Krishna? About his dham? That every speck of dust in Vrindavan, every tree is worshipable? What do I want to teach? The clearer I get it in my idea, in my mind, what I want to teach, what I want the students to learn, then I'll know very easily what I want to teach. Now, to do this, we are going to recommend a system of preparing for lessons, which I stole straight out of the teacher training textbooks. For every school teacher uses a system called lesson planning. And I predict that if you pick up the simple techniques of planning for your lessons, whatever they are, whether you're talking a group of people come from some school and they want some instruction about basic Krishna consciousness, or you're giving a Bhagavatam class, or you're giving an art of teaching class, or you're giving any kind of a class, or you're anything you're doing practically, if you plan and find out what you're doing before you start doing it, you'll be greatly benefited. Prabhupada has said one time, man without an aim is like a ship without any rudder. So suppose if the ship goes An airplane is going with an aim to land in some country. But if he goes on simply without any aim, there will be a disaster. That's usually what happens in most presentations we make. We don't have an aim. We don't know what we want the students to learn. And often there is a disaster. Then Karanda said, they were talking to some Buddhists. Well, they have an aim, but the aim is because they haven't, Prabhupada, that you say they have got. He does not have say, you say. It's very actually interesting if you understand some subtleties in this. That Karanda was actually talking about, they were talking to some Buddhists, and Karanda was taking the side of the Buddhist right there, and Prabhupada chastised them for that. And Karanda actually, many years later, became a Buddhist. So Prabhupada actually picked up in him the seed of this type of philosophy. He says that he likes the practice, they're translating for someone, he says he likes the practice to do something without a goal. And he doesn't give any value to the practice because there is a goal. This is some impersonalist philosophy. Prabhupada says, that is foolishness. Without a goal, practicing something, it is foolishness. So it is like if we say, which is the best way to go? Should we go by land? Should we walk? Or should we take a bus? Or should we take an airplane? Or should we take a motor rickshaw? Should we take a boat? Which way should we go? Which is the best way to go? Absurd until you figure out first where you are going, obviously. This is the point. So the first thing we have to do is decide upon the objective of our lesson. What we want the students to learn. Remember, again and again I will say this. Look at it from the side of the students. What you want them to learn. Start with that point instead of what you want to teach. Start thinking in terms of what you want them to learn. The lesson objective. Then secondarily, materials. What you're going to need. All this is described in more detail. What you're going to need, I brought so many books with me. You keep a list of what you need before you come. Then, preparation, what you have to do before you come, before you speak, before you give your presentation. Now, of course, this could be very simple, much simplified in the case of a Bhagavatam class or something like that. But here's a general outline. 1, 2, 3. Then procedures is number 4. Procedures has 3 parts. How are you going to start? What's the most important thing when you start? What's the most important thing when you start? You took the class last year. That's cheating. What's the most important thing when you start? Right? Okay, yes.
The attention of the class.
You have to keep their attention. If you don't catch it in the beginning, it's very difficult to get it back. Then you have to know how to proceed. Attention, the first thing. Second thing is there are so many different steps to proceed. And then the third is how you have to summarize or close and make sure it ends properly. Which reminds me, I should summarize and close and make sure it ends properly. And then finally, evaluation. Now, these are all written, actually, in the book. I don't want to stop you from taking notes, but it's all there. Evaluation is the last step. Because what is evaluation? When we think of teaching in schools, we get all immediately in anxiety when we think of report cards and tests and grades. And we think of that as evaluation. But there's a whole another side of evaluation. A teacher, what is he trying to do? He's trying to teach in such a way that the students learn, right? That's his job. So then, he wants to evaluate how successful he's been. Have the students learned what I was trying to teach? That is evaluation. That's evaluating the actual procedure and process of learning and teaching. Tomorrow we'll speak about objectives. This is the essence. If you can catch the essence of how to think in terms of objectives, you will succeed in all things. This is so much about preaching even and objectives. Clearly understand what you want to do with your life. We tell people, don't. Bahu shakas tvanantascha buryo vyavisayinam. The intelligence of one who is not fixed in Krishna consciousness is many branches. Rather, make a clear objective of what you want to accomplish. Okay. I've broken so many of the rules of good teaching today. I'm not going to evaluate, I'm not going to summarize. But I'll have you summarize, and you can evaluate by writing for 5 minutes now. Write what anything, any points that caught your information, your interest in the class. Keep these too, there'll be a good record of what you learned. Write what you learned about teaching. But there's one trick in this type of free writing. This is called a directed free writing. You start, I'll tell you when the 5 minutes begins, and just keep writing. Don't stop for anything. Even if you don't know what to say, write Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, I don't know what to say. But don't start writing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, because I know when you start writing that, you can't stop. And you just write Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Keep writing for 5 minutes, and I will just read you one. And after the 5 minutes is up, I'll read you one simple quote, one question.
For ourselves.
No one will read this except yourself. And in most, yes. Okay, 5 minutes has begun. I'll warn you 30 seconds before. Start, don't worry about what you, if you write, your intelligence will become activated and something will come out. Don't worry, just start writing. And don't stop.